Blog Talk Radio.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready.
Of There Is Life After Layoff Radio. I'm Allie, your host, and along with my co-host, Minister Dr. Regina Ward, the founder of Elise Psychological Services and who is a licensed professional counselor specializing in anxiety, adjustment, and depressive disorders, it is always our pleasure to be your guides as I take this journey of self-discovery and empowerment after recently being laid off. And as Doc affirms normalcy of feelings, while offering you practical solutions. Please join in on the conversation with us every Tuesday evening from 7 to 8 p.m. through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And you can also follow my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com. And if you wish to contact us via email, you can do so at thereislifeafterlayoff@gmail.com. And I'm tweeting, so if you want to follow me, you can follow me on Twitter at AllieWard45. And on behalf of Doc and myself, we thank you for listening and for joining us once again as we share with you our insights into the experience of being laid off. Good evening, Doc, and thank you for joining me again tonight. And you know, Doc, you and I both felt that we should address tonight's topic of dealing with failure in our lives, especially as we prepare for our first Turn It Up Tuesday episode featuring our theme song, Failure Is Not Final, which was written and sung by Palmer Williams Jr. Now, in your experience, can you briefly share with us what type of characteristics will a person who has a fear of failure possess?
Yes, first of all, hi, Allie, how are you?
I'm great.
Good, good. You know what, when you ask that question, I'll say three main characteristics or specific characteristics come to mind when you talk about the characteristics of people who fear failure. And I'll say number one, is avoidance, meaning that they would avoid people, places, or things that they feel will cause them to feel like they're rejected, or people, places, or things that will make them feel like a failure. Another characteristic and or emotion would be anger. This person may be short-tempered because, or they've internalized. So I'll even say, I'll add depression with that, because they begin internalizing negative thoughts because they don't know how to express what they're really feeling. So again, the inward feeling or emotion will show up as anger or even depression, that will, where they start withdrawing. And lastly, another one that comes to mind is complacency. The person may become very complacent or settle for, say, where they are in their career or even where they are in life, although they actually want to advance or do something different or more for themselves. And I like to use this illustration. I can remember my last two vehicles, when I saw them, I said, I'm going to have those cars. The first one was a Mitsubishi Eclipse. I remember I would see those cars driving down the expressway, and I would say, I'm going to get that car. And now the car that I currently have, my BMW X5, same thing. When I saw it, I knew I was going to have it. So I started doing everything to reach or accomplish that goal. But a person that lives in complacency, they may see or desire something, and every time it passed by, they will mention the desire, but they never do anything to reach or accomplish that goal for what they actually want. So those are the three main characteristics that I would say a person exhibits that fear failure.
Wow, thank you, Doc. You know, you mentioned a couple that I hadn't even thought about, especially complacency, but that makes sense now that you brought it up. So thank you for those comments.
You're welcome.
Now, as always, I must remind those of you who may be listening for the first time or who may be calling in for the first time that we are here to use this forum as a way to uplift, empower, and hopefully inspire those of you who have been affected by a layoff. We are not here to complain, ridicule, or point fingers at our former employers or colleagues or any individuals. And we are definitely not here to feel sorry for ourselves. We are here so that I can share with you my journey of rediscovery and empowerment. But most of all, Doc and I are here to serve the community and to give you a voice by offering you an opportunity to share your story so that you know that you're not in this alone and we can get through this together. So now, with that said, it's time for us to get started. Before we get into the actual topic of discussion tonight, I want to take this time to remind our listeners about our new up-and-coming show concept entitled Turn It Up Tuesday, which is scheduled to air next week on April 30th. Yay, I'm so excited about that. It is a show that will be focused on bringing you music that will inspire you or that has inspired Doc and I along this journey that God has blessed us with. Now, one of those songs that has inspired us here at There's Life After Layoff Radio has been our theme song for the show, Failure Is Not Final. The message that resonates in that song is so on point with the journey that God has directed me to take at this time in my life. So that is why it is with great excitement that I want to remind all of you that we will also be joined on that show live on air by none other than Palmer Williams Jr. for the first episode of Turn It Up Tuesday. His character, Floyd the Barber, for those of you who've watched Tyler Perry's House of Pain, is so hysterical. So if you haven't seen him in that, you can catch it on TBS Weekly. He is also a writer and an accomplished musician. We will be highlighting music from his recently released album entitled Neo Saved, on which you will find our theme song, Failure Is Not Final. And we will also be talking to Palmer about his journey, what inspires him. And so please remember to mark your calendar, tell your friends and family members to tune in to listen to There Is Life After Layoff Radio on April 30th, because you won't want to miss it. And as always, I also want to remind you about our new book club selection for our next reading. We have selected the book entitled Room of Marvels by James Bryan Smith. So you go ahead and get it now. You can start reading. We haven't actually officially launched the second reading yet, but you can start early. You can catch the book on I'll buy it on ChristianBook.com, Amazon.com, Half.com, and it's very reasonably priced. All the copies that I've seen have been under $10. There's ebook. There's also a video, not an audio book, I should say, and an ebook version, a Kindle version. So go ahead and get it now and get ahead, start ahead on your reading of that particular novel, Room of Marvels by James Bryan Smith. And also, those of you who may have missed any past shows or past pre-recorded shows of our There Is Life After Layoff radio, you can still catch those archive programs through the Atlanta Life Radio website. So I encourage you to catch up, or just if you want to listen to one of our pre-recorded shows, again, I encourage you to do that as well. So as we get ready to welcome our special guest, as I mentioned earlier, Palmer Williams Jr. on our Turn It Up Tuesday episode next week to discuss the inspiration for our theme song, Failure Is Not Final, Doc and I both felt that tonight's discussion about dealing with feelings of failure in our lives would be a great segue for that discussion on next week. So as those of you who have been tuning in on a weekly basis, for the past few shows, we have been dealing with issues that were interwoven throughout the book club selection of The Shack, written by William Young. Now, of course, tonight's topic is no different, so we'll start there. For those of you familiar with the book, our main character, Mac or Mackenzie, he wrestled with feelings of failure in a couple of areas throughout the book. Now, of course, the first area that came to my mind immediately was that he felt like he had failed his daughter, Missy, who was abducted and then murdered. Now, because he was her father, he felt that he had failed her because he failed to protect her, you know. So he felt, you know, a little bit of guilt associated with that as well. Next, he also felt a sense of failure in his relationship with his wife, Nan, for not protecting his children again. And the list goes on and on. So, and as I mentioned, that failure ended up turning into guilt, which is what we talked about on last week's show. And as I discussed last week also, that guilt actually is actually anger that is directed at ourselves. So he was actually angry with himself. And all of these negative emotions that Mac experienced were intertwined and connected, which we all know who read the book, that it became known as his quote-unquote great sadness, right, Doc? So exactly. Let's take a look at the word failure and what it means. Here are a few short meanings that I came across, and I quote, failure is the condition or fact of not achieving the desired end or ends, or it is also defined as one that fails, and lastly, it is defined as the condition or fact of being insufficient or falling short, okay? So when we look at the definition of the word failure, understand that failure is also a matter of perception and that it will change from person to person, right? So in other words, what is perceived or looked at as a failure by one person can very well be deemed as a success by another. So with that said, how you choose to perceive the failure that you face will affect your ability to handle it. Now, this is not always easy to do, and let me explain why I say this. Ask yourself, when can you really first recall hearing the word failure in relation to your life? Now, for me, it was when I was a child, and as it related to how well you did in school or to your education. You know, my parents instilled in me and my siblings when we were very young about the importance of getting a good education. And that, as I'm sure that your parents did in you as well, Doc. Now, this was so that we could, you know, ultimately grow up and pursue the career that we wanted and be successful in life. Now, that's probably pretty much in line with what most of us have heard with relation to the word failure. Well, what happened if you didn't do well? Okay, oftentimes what it meant, in my house at least, when you didn't do well or you didn't study and didn't do well in school, it meant that you could have been punished or disciplined in some way, right? So guess what that did? For me, that created a negative view of failure in my mind. So I started out thinking that if I failed at something, that was a negative thing. So at that age, I didn't look at it as something that could help to motivate me towards being successful. So all I knew is that if I did not want to disappoint my parents. That's all I was concentrating on. Now, this, I believe, along with the fact that, and if you recall this, Doc, that I already had feelings of not fitting in and not being accepted by my peers. So this coupled together with that feeling was the start of my quest for perfectionism. Okay, I made that realization. Now, I was trying to please everybody to gain approval and acceptance so that I could then feel good about myself. Now, I'll talk a little bit more about the perfectionism later, but now, how many of you know that combination didn't work for me? Because it always seemed that the harder I tried, it was never good enough. And I say all that to say that having a negative view of failure can actually hinder us from being able to rise above it. And oftentimes that's what it did in my life. Now, while a positive view of failure can actually enable you to turn that failure into a stepping stone for success. Okay, so now here's a million-dollar question. How do you do that? Okay. Mm-hmm. In essence, what I had to do was to change my view about failure. I found that this can be accomplished as long as I approached it with a willing and an open heart. Okay. What actually led to my being able to change my perception was the fact that I finally made up in my mind that I was going to pursue and apply the peace that God has given me in my life. And I've said that many, many times before because it is so key in my being able to grow in my walk with God and in my relationship with Him. I made a conscious choice to see the glass as half full instead of as half empty, okay, like a lot of people do. I had really gotten to the point where I was tired of all the negativity, and I also finally realized that I was mainly the reason for a lot of the negativity, and that if I chose to, I could change it, okay? There I go again looking in that self-mirror, you know, but it's necessary if I'm going to grow. Now, in order for me to start to change my view of failure, there were a few viewpoints that helped me to learn how to do that. First, I had to realize, number one, that failure is a normal part of life, okay? We are all human, and therefore, guess what? We are subject to making mistakes. Nobody is perfect. So what that told me is that failure is, guess what, life's way of telling me that something is wrong in my approach to something and that I need to make some adjustments, okay? Then another viewpoint that helped me to change my outlook of failure was that I had to learn that failure is a part of an ongoing process. Now, this ultimately means that, guess what, it can be reversed and it is not final, which is exactly what our theme song says, Doc. Failure is not final. Okay, you like how I connected that?
Love it.
Okay. Only you can make the choice to give up. Remember that our God is a God of a second, third, fourth, 50th, 100th, millionth chances, okay? He will never give up on us. So just remember to always look at the big picture. Next, I learned that failure is totally subjective, which means that I ultimately decided when I have made a mistake in my life or if I haven't made a mistake. And it all depends on how I choose to look at it, what that decision is going to be. The next one that I realized and helped me change my view is really big for me. I had to learn that I am not my mistakes, okay? Therefore, I am not a failure. In other words, failure is a mistake and it's not a person. Okay?
That's good.
Yes, that's it. That's huge. Failure or how to deal with it is a lesson that I needed to learn on my path towards building success in my life. Now, sometimes I have even seen that a particular failure meant that my path needed to change directions, but in doing so, I was able to use that failure to help me succeed in another area of my life that I didn't realize at the time, okay? And finally, I have learned to use my failures to help me grow as a person and to become what God wants me to be. And that failure is oftentimes the price that you really have to ultimately pay for success. Now, when you learn how to embrace failure as a part of the process, it will help build a stronger foundation for future success. And in the process, failure can help you to be a, to better hold on to the success that you are able to accomplish. Okay. Mm-hmm. Now, we all want to be successful, and it's not easy to, it's not going to be easy to change your view of failure, and it's definitely not something that's going to happen overnight. But what do you have to lose? Just keep an open mind. Now, at this point, I wanted to go back to the issue of how I struggle with perfectionism for a minute and how we can pass these types of generational strongholds onto our children, which we have talked about, Doc, in a past show. Now, as I stated before, I struggled with the need to be accepted because of this, I spent a large portion of my life being a people pleaser and a perfectionist because it helped me to gain acceptance and approval of others. Now, once I had children of my own, and this is for the parents out there, I had to really learn how to let them discover their own strengths and weaknesses and their own likes and dislikes. Now, as a parent, you always, of course, you want your children to do well, and sometimes we have a tendency to push too hard for them to do that. Now, I realize that, especially with my daughter, she excels in arts and crafts, and she's a great dancer. So those are her areas of interest at this point in her life. She pulls a little bit of her talent from both my husband and from myself. My husband is a phenomenal artist, so she gets that from him. But I realized early on that she is not a runner, which is something that I like to do. But you know what? That's okay. I can't say that something in me didn't want her to pursue my footsteps. But, you know, I was okay with that because either you are a runner or you're not, okay? I decided to learn how to control my need to be a perfectionist and not to force this on my children, primarily because guess what? I realized that all I was doing was creating stress and anxiety in my daughter as a result of my pushing her too hard to be perfect because I wanted her to be perfect, okay? Now, what I needed to do and what I realized I needed to do was to take a different type of approach because I saw that I was forcing my overachieving spirit onto her, okay? That's that generational, you know, stronghold. So now, with the help of God and other key people in my life, I have learned to let her be who she is, and as long as she does her best, then my husband and I are satisfied. But what we have done, though, in helping her be encouraged and letting her discover her likes and dislikes, we've also planted a seed in her to want to succeed, and by doing that, she has chosen to do well because she likes the results. Now, with that said, I am proud to say that she is working on earning straight A's for the fourth year in a row, which is an awesome accomplishment, and we are so very proud of her. So we are very proud of our daughter. Now, however, I must say that I did discover one area of my life in which being an overachiever was a good thing, Doc, believe it or not. Okay. And that was the area related to my participation in sports throughout the years.
Okay.
Do you see that connection? Yes. I learned early in junior high school that I had the endurance and the love for running, as I mentioned, and especially long distances. So this led to my joining and participating in the track team, and then in high school I participated in both track and cross country for all 4 years. Now, I didn't stop there because I also participated in kickboxing at the same time, so I had my hands full. But I loved sports, and I found out that sports, in particular, team sports, was one of the areas that even if you didn't quite succeed or perform the way that you wanted or expected to perform, your teammates were there to encourage and lift your spirit. So even though you may have fallen short, there were still others who would rally around you and say, it's okay, you know, we'll get them next time. So although my participation in sports, also through my participation in sports, I learned to develop discipline and valuable teamwork skills, which has served me well over the years. And that discipline even enabled me to compete as a competitive bodybuilder as an adult. Yeah, that's one of those things that people are probably saying, what? But it was something that I always wanted to do. I challenged myself, and I was able to do it. But I digress, of course. I'm finally at a point in my life where I am okay with who I am, and I have learned to embrace my failures or mistakes. I've learned to accept them, and then guess what? Keep it moving. Because what may seem as a failure and a tragedy many times will lead to a marvelous breakthrough. Failure has been a great teacher in my life and has taught me many things and made me a better person. I'm not afraid to face failure anymore, but most importantly, I've learned that I am to live to impress and please God, okay? So what others think doesn't bother me like it used to. And just like our theme song says, I know now that failure is not final, okay? Mm. Now, as we wind down and take our first station break, we encourage you to call us if you want to share your layoff experience or anything relating to tonight's topic or any of our other show topics. So if you just want to make a comment, you can reach us at 347-324-5246. When you call in, please make sure that you press the number 1 to be added in the on-air lineup tonight. You are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio with your hosts, Ali and Doc. Please stay tuned.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you. Joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready. What God has for you, tell yourself, no.
If you're just tuning in, you are listening to Atlanta Life Radio. There Is Life After Layoff with Ali and Doc. Tonight's show is a preview of our show, Case for Next Tuesday, where our theme song and the artist who recorded the song, Palmer Williams Jr., will be our special guest. We want to take a minute and thank all of our listeners and all of our supporters. Check the Atlanta Life Radio website regularly, as we will be posting some new opportunities for all of you to become part of the Atlanta Life Radio family. And now, we're going to turn back to our hosts, Ali and Doc, with There Is Life After Layoff. Ali?
We are back. And if you are just joining us, welcome. And as Melinda stated, you are listening to There Is Life After Layoff Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And I'm your host, Ali, and along with my co-host, Doc, we welcome you to join us every Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. And you can also follow my blog at www.thereislifeafterlayoff.com and follow me on Twitter, please, at AllieWard45. Now, Doc, as we continue our discussion tonight, can you share with our listeners a personal experience where you have fallen short in something in your life which resulted in feelings of failure, and how did you get past those feelings?
I think, Allie, the thing that mostly comes to mind is I can remember years ago it would be the area of relationships because I'm a very committed and loyal person. So when a relationship didn't work and the person would just break up, and I'm a person that always believes in talking, discussing, working things out, closing the doors on situations. And it wasn't until later, I think someone told me, but that's what a breakup is. When a person is not able to face you, they just stop calling. So, but
right,
with that
right.
being said, it started building feelings of failure and rejection within me, like there was something wrong with me. And how I got past it was really just growing in myself, being comfortable in who I was and knowing who I was, whose I was, a child of God, and knowing my abilities and qualities and what I had to offer just allowed me to know it wasn't about me, it was about the other person. And kind of going back to that illustration, and this is one of the things that I even counsel people on. There's a thing that's called status incompatibility. And a lot of people may become involved with a person that is not at your status, or like the Bible say, be not unequally
yoked. Right.
Exactly. And that's not even only spiritual. It could be a person. And I don't mean financially, but it could be your mental capacity or even your goals. A person, as I stated, they may be complacent, but you may have goals and dreams. So, again, how I got past it, I began to know who I was and whose I was, and started just being patient and allowing God to bring that person that met or was compatible with me.
Wow, that's good right there. And I think, you know what, now that you mention that, I think a lot of women probably go through that.
More than we know.
Oh, I know, because, you know, women are nurturers, and so we love hard, most of us do.
Right.
And, you know, we take it personal. So I had to learn, I don't take it personal. It's not a personal attack, and that is linked into that spirit of offense that we are often, faced with. You know, I just don't take it personal. It's not personal. So, but anyway, Melinda, do we have any callers on the line?
We do. And I talked to our first caller in the screening room, so I'm going to bring her on right now. Our first caller, you are live and on air.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Hello?
Yes.
Hello?
Yes, welcome.
Hey, this is
Hello?
Kathleen again.
Hey.
How you doing?
Hey, Karen. Good, and yourself?
I'm doing okay, enjoying you guys' topic, and I can relate. So I thought I'd chime in instead of just listening this time.
Okay.
This thing about failure, when you were talking, Allie, it reminded me of me. The only difference is I haven't gotten quite to where you are, where you you're not really over it, but, you know, a long way from where you were. Mine is still pretty deeply rooted, and mine kind of came from early childhood, where I was actually not allowed to fail. I couldn't make mistakes.
What?
If I did make one, if I made a mistake, it was treated as almost like I was about to end the world. That kind of
goodness.
That kind of backlash, yeah. So, of course, I became a perfectionist. You know, I couldn't make mistakes. Mm-hmm. And I didn't know, and as a child growing up, and that's all you ever hear, you don't know that it's okay as actually a normal part of life to make mistakes. Because I couldn't do it,
right.
You know. It's like, how dare you? How could you? Now, all the other kids running around playing, tearing stuff up, you let me put a scratch on something. It's like, oh, my God, you know, and it's like,
wow.
Come on now, you know. But basically, I call to say, you know, to hear you other people talk about it is very encouraging to know that I, too, can get through this to the point that I understand that failure is okay. You know, don't wallow in it. Don't expect it. And, oh, it's just the way it's going to be. But, you know, you will make mistakes because none of us walking around here now is Jesus, and he's the only one that make a mistake. So
right.
It's like, okay, it's okay for you to make. Yeah. Go ahead.
How did that show up in your adulthood, not being able as a child to make mistakes? How did that affect you even as an adult, or how did it present itself in your adulthood?
Basically, like I said, I became a perfectionist. I'm still a perfectionist, working on it because I do understand that that's not the way to be, and not only with myself, but I expected other people to be perfect as well. If they were dealing with me or a part of my life, and if they weren't, I treated it just like it was treated with me. Oh, my God, how could you not know that was wrong? You know, so it's an issue, and it is still there to this day. I had struggled with it at work earlier today, as a matter of fact. I had to talk myself out of, you know, one of those failure-type modes. And so, like I said, it is good to hear other people talking about it and how they went through it, still going through it, you know, because a lot of times you do feel like you're by yourself when you're doing, when you go through stuff like this. And so this show is, you know, very, very helpful, not with just this topic, but everything I've heard since I've been listening to you guys.
Oh, thank you, Kat. We appreciate your support and we welcome it, and please keep calling in from week to week whenever you hear, or just like you said, just want to make a comment to let us know how we're doing. This helps us get better.
I sure will.
Exactly.
Thank you guys.
Thank
you. You're welcome. Have a great evening.
You too.
Okay, Melinda, do we have any additional callers?
Oh, we do. And caller,
great.
Your number ends in 6576. You are live and on air.
Hi, this is Tanjay.
Hey, Tanjay.
Hi, how are you? I've been listening in, and Allie, I'm just like you. I was a mother. You know, my, you know, from history too, like Kathleen said, but as I raised my kids, I didn't raise them the way I was raised. I tried to find what drives them. And as a failure, you know, I look at my son as he's going through what he's going through. You know, I'm questioning myself like, okay, failure. When you hit the key word failure, and I'm like, okay, you know, I'm questioning me. Am I failing him or is he failing himself? You know, and, you know, I'm looking at myself because in him, as growing up in childhood, things I wanted to do, that's a failure. Like, you know, as Kathleen stated, and I'm going to piggyback, because me and Kathleen has talked about this growing up where we were, our family said, oh, no, you couldn't do this. It's a failure. You had to be, you know, you couldn't be perfect. And it's so much that when you was talking about how you looked at your child and what you did as watching your child evolve and you went with what her potential was, I have nobody to piggyback. And that's the sad part. And the only person I have is God. That's
good.
That's what's strengthening me to be able to keep going and going. And, like, as an adult, that's who's making me who I am, to say, you know what, you're not a failure. You have a destiny here for some reason. And I also want to go back on Doc. Doc, you're correct. I looked at relationships the same way. So one day I said, okay, God, you know what? I'm giving you me. I don't know what relationship's about. Never was taught what relationship is about, but I'm putting it in your hands. And that's what I did. When I put it in God's hand, I've now been happily married for 11 years.
Oh, wow. Awesome.
Oh, praise God.
And I couldn't ask for a better
praise
husband.
God.
And, you know, we, you
wonderful.
Know, and I look. And another thing, I had a failure, like Kathleen said today. I had a manager, knows how our workload is, took me in our office, get this done. You need to get this done today. You know what needs to be done. I'm looking, Lord, I feel the person. You know, that's me. Because I was like, Lord, I feel this person. because of the way she came at me. And it took me back to my childhood, like when my mama said, you did. And it beat me up so bad that I had to listen to this conversation. And when I heard the part failure, it stuck with me because I kept beating myself up and say, you know, I'm failing this person. It wasn't what my supervisor said. It was the person that she told me about. And I kept, when I heard the word failure, that's a key thing. And when you hear that, that's negative to people.
Exactly.
And when I listen to failure, I've now learned to make it a positive thing. Definitely turning it in a positive way so I can pick me up and say, you know what, failure is a good thing. You're going to fall, pick yourself up, dust yourself off and say, okay, God, let's run some more.
Exactly.
And
that's how I look at it.
So I want to say thank you, and I apologize I have not listened, missed my last two, but I just got to listen to it just before you all came on air this evening.
As long as you kept up.
And you know what? It is so key. A lot of the points that you made, Tanjay, is that we have to pay attention to the way God speaks to us and who he may use to show us a lesson about ourselves. And I think I made mention of this in a previous show, that he will use our children. And that's what I saw, you know, in looking at my daughter. I saw what it was doing to her. And I said, you know what, I got to change this. But looking at her and paying attention to her behavior and what it was doing to her, you know, my bad behavior, it prompted me to do better and to grow and to say, you know, I don't want to do this to my child. You know, these are my issues. I didn't want to, it's not fair to push them off on her. So we just have to pay attention, you know. So thank you so much.
You're welcome. This is what I want to say as well, and for our listeners, and I'm so happy. I really see this show as breaking yokes in people, because a lot of times we walk around with feelings, issues, emotions, and we think that we are Long Island. But when we really talk about it and we're transparent, we'll see that we're more alike than we are different. As you got on the phone, Kathleen got on the phone, it's like, wow, that's my story. I can relate. But what I want to say to you and to encourage our listeners, not to take on other people's issues, whether it's our boss, family members, because a lot of times what people do, they project their stuff on us. They could feel like failures. And a lot of times when a person feels inadequate or they feel like a failure, then they become real harsh, brash, and they begin to make us feel like we did something wrong, but it's really their inadequacy. So, Tanjay, I encourage you not to take on, again, someone else's issue that they're trying to project onto you. And thank you, and continue to listen.
I will. Thank you.
And have a good evening.
You too.
All right, Melinda, do we have any more callers?
No, we don't. Our panel's lit up with listeners, so I guess you and Doc can continue the conversation.
Absolutely. Okay. Doc, do you want to address some of the questions that we have for tonight's program?
Yeah, and I think this is a good segue because, as our listeners know, this show actually was birthed out of you being laid off, which some could be viewed as a failure, but I want to ask you, how do you view it?
Okay, that's a really good question. You know, what made all the difference in how I answered this question now versus how I would have answered it a couple of years ago is because, just as I stated earlier at the beginning of the show, I changed my view of what failure means in my life, okay? My view of failure and the purpose that it serves in my life is now positive versus it being negative. That came with a lot of soul-searching and growth and studying of the word, but I've learned how to use it as a motivational tool to finally walk in my true purpose, because as a result, as we all know, as a result of my being laid off, I was able to discover a hidden gift that I didn't really realize was a gift from God was that my writing. Now, I was able to hear God speak to me through the Holy Spirit, and he dropped a vision on me for There Is Life After Layoff, in which turned into my blog. And I realized that, okay, although this is closing a chapter in my life, a door, and he's closing the door that was open for 13 and a half years, but then he subsequently opened a window for me, okay, through the blog. Now, and additionally to that, it has been a blessing in disguise. Although it may have looked like, you know, a tragedy to others, and most people would have just been devastated by it, to me, I've taken it on as a blessing, and I'm thankful for it because it gave me a way out of a situation that I wasn't necessarily happy. And yes, I had become complacent. I had been praying for months and months, God, I know that I need to be doing something else because I was no longer fulfilled, but I was comfortable. And I didn't know how to step away from that. And then I think I mentioned that I felt guilty for wanting to pursue another avenue because I didn't want to let my coworkers down because I knew if I left that was going to be a burden of, you know, who was going to carry my workload. So all of this stuff, you know, was piling up. And so I just stayed there. But, well, God, you know, he saw and he heard my petition and he gave me a way out. So he used a negative method, and, you know, God, when he shows up, and he always shows out, he gave it he had that shock factor in it. He used that layoff as a way of elevating me. So, you know, I looked at it, and initially I was a little angry and a little shocked, you know, because I didn't see it coming, but it was a stepping stone for me to do what I'm doing now, and I love it. And I'm thankful that he heard my prayers and he answered them. Can you hear me, Doc?
I can hear you.
Okay. Is that Kat?
But I can't hear anything else.
Hello. I think we lost Doc. Doc, are you on
here?
Oh,
okay.
Okay.
Okay, well,
Doc,
we'll
can you call back in? Yeah, go ahead, Allie, and continue talking. Thank you.
Okay, at this point in the show, until Doc gets reconnected, in preparing for tonight's subject, there was this something that just kept resonating in my spirit, and it was a poem that I heard years ago, and many of you may be familiar with it. It was the poem entitled Invictus, and it was written by William Ernest Henley. Now, Invictus was actually was written by, it was actually,
it's a tomatoes on it, and I
hello?
Hope.
Hello? It was actually a poem written on the wall of of Nelson Mandela, in the prison that he was held in for 27 years. And the word Invictus is a Latin word that has oftentimes been translated to mean one who is unbeaten, unconquered, or unvanquished. Now, I wanted to...
Allie, don't mean to interrupt you. I think we have Doc back online. Doc, are you there?
Yes. Can you all hear me?
Yes, we
yes,
can.
Yes, we can.
Okay.
All right.
Welcome
back. At the pearly gates again. I can hear you fine. So thank you.
Okay.
Oh, goodness. But, you know, you got to just be ready to see. That could have been looked at as a failure, but.
Right. Very good. Very good. But we're Allie, you were saying something good. You were talking about that poem, Evictus, and what were you saying about that poem?
Yes. Okay, just to give you a background story, it was written by William Ernest Henley. Now, to understand why he wrote the poem, you have to understand a little bit of a background story of his life. Okay, now, as a young boy, he had developed tuberculosis of the bone. And at the age of 25, the tuberculosis spread to his foot. So as a result of that, physicians decided that in order to save his foot, or excuse me, to save his life, they had to amputate his leg below the knee. And as a result of him being in the hospital, he came up with this poem entitled Invictus. Now, it was originally written in 1875, and it was untitled when it was first written, and then it was published in 1888 by the name of Arthur Quiller Couch, and he gave it the title Invictus. He published it in a book called The Oxford Book of English Verse. And what I found in looking up then, because I, you know, the poem stuck out in my head, and so I decided to look up an analysis of what exactly did he mean when he wrote this. And it's a very short poem, so if you would indulge me, I'd like to read it, a little bit of it. Okay? So, out of the night that covers me, black as the pit from pole to pole, I thank whatever gods may be for my unconquerable soul. In the cell clutch of circumstance, I have not winced nor cried aloud. Under the bludgeonings of chance, my head is bloody but unbowed. Beyond this place of wrath and tears looms but the horror of the shade, and yet the menace of the years binds and shall find me unafraid. It matters not how straight the gate, how charged with punishments the scroll. I am the master of my fate. I'm the captain of my soul. Now, when I looked up the analysis of that, real short and sweet, and then I'm going to let you get into your solutions, the first stanza, out of the night that covers me, it actually describes the troubles in his early life. Okay, so that's where he came up with that, and he is covered pole to pole with something terrible. So luckily enough, his soul is unhindered. Now, in the second stanza, where it starts, in the fell clutch of circumstance, he has high spirits regardless of what has happened to him. His body may have blood stains, but he is not ashamed. And then the third stanza states that even though he may not know what is to come, he is not afraid and he's ready for life. And then the last and fourth stanza states that even though his future may be established due to the disease, he will continue on and control his own fate and soul with whatever time he has. Isn't that great?
That's awesome. That's a great segue into our solutions because what it says, the first one is don't give up on yourself or your idea if you fail the first time. Just keep going. And understand that failure is normal. That there may be times in our lives that we may not succeed. And I think you said something really good. Don't personalize or don't see yourself as failure, even if you don't succeed at something. Failure can give you an opportunity to rediscover yourself or find a new way of improving an idea that initially didn't do well. Discover the reason for the failure and ask yourself, what did I learn from it and how can I improve it or improve myself? And remember, most successful individuals failed before having success. And on your road...
Exactly.
Yes, obstacles on your road to success makes your accomplishment worthwhile. Don't blame yourself or anyone else for your failure. Use this time to regroup by writing down what succeeded and what you can do different. Use your support system to help you through these moments. As I stated earlier, a lot of times people internalize and they don't express how they're feeling or what they're feeling. So I encourage you to use your support system. And don't use this time to think about when you failed other times in your life. Think about the bright future ahead. And though you may stumble, it doesn't mean that you have failed. And lastly, remember, failure is not final. My scripture for tonight comes from Psalms chapter 37, verses 23 and 24. And it reads, "The steps of a good man is ordered by the Lord. Though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand." And our growth work is, if you failed at something, take a moment to identify what you've learned from that failure, how you can improve and begin the steps of starting over again. Thank you,
wow.
Allie.
Thank you, Doc. Once again, the practical solutions in the scripture related to our topic tonight are right on point and another opportunity for us to grow and learn from that. So thank you so much. Now, as we get ready to close out tonight, please remember that we have made our new book club selection for our Atlanta Life Radio Inspirational Book Club discussion. So go ahead and get your book now and read ahead. The next reading is scheduled for sometime in the summer, and so stay tuned for that announcement. And we are reading the book entitled Room of Marvels by James Bryan Smith. You can still sign up to be a book club member through the Atlanta Life Radio website at www.atlantaliferadio.com. And also, please do not forget to tune in next Tuesday for our show, our first Turn It Up Tuesday episode on April 30th, where we will be joined on air live by none other than Palmer Williams Jr. You won't want to miss it. I am so excited about that. And we remind you that if you like what you hear, please visit our website and listen to recordings of past shows, as well as please post a comment. Let us know how we're doing. If you are on Facebook, please friend us at Atlanta Life Radio. And make sure that you plan to tune in next Tuesday from 7 to 8 p.m. on Atlanta Life Radio at www.atlantaliferadio.com, when we will continue our discussion. And next week we'll have a special guest. And continue to follow me on Twitter at AllieWard45. So on behalf of myself, Allie, and my co-host, Doc, we thank you for joining us and continue to urge you to be encouraged. And yes, although it may be hard to walk away from something, especially when you don't know what you're walking towards, just know that when God is in it, all things are possible and new. Continue to join us on this journey and take a leap of faith. Pass the fear in your life. Know that the bigger the obstacle, the bigger the blessing. But most of all, remember, there is life after layoff. Thank you and good night.
Failure is not final. Your life is not through. Now with your testimony, God can use you too. If you didn't know the pain of life, wouldn't know the joy of life and how God always brings you through. No need for complaining, just look at this, it's just training to be ready, what God has for you. Tell yourself, no,
I'm not giving
in you, Lord. I have my faith in. Even when it seems, that's when you lose. That's when your breakthrough will begin.
Celebrate.
There's no need. devil's defeated.
Yes, with the testimony,
testimony.